Chapter 4. The Marquis of Evrémonde. The Marquis's carriage hurried through the streets of Paris and round corners as if it were running at an enemy. Inside, the Marquis of Evrémonde seemed pleased to see people jumping out of his way, often hardly escaping being hit. Women screamed and men pulled children to one side. Then, turning a corner, the carriage came to a sudden stop by a fountain. There was a loud cry, and the horses rose up on their back legs.
"What is wrong?"
said the Marquis, calmly looking out. He was a handsomely dressed man of about 60, whose proud face showed no pity. He stared at the crowd of people around the fountain as if they were animals that had come out of their holes. A tall man had picked up a small body from the feet of the horses and laid it by the fountain. He bent over it on his hands and knees, crying desperately.
"Why is he making that awful noise?"
said the Marquis.
"Excuse me, Monsieur the Marquis, it is his child,"
a man replied. Suddenly, the tall man got up and ran at the carriage.
"Killed!"
he screamed.
"My child is dead!"
The Marquis took out his purse and threw a gold coin onto the street.
"It is extraordinary that you people cannot take care of yourselves and your children," he said.
"Dead!"
the tall man cried again as another man came forward to comfort him.
"Be brave, Gaspard," this man said. "Your poor child is in a better place now."
"Well said! You are a wise man,"
cried the Marquis.
"What is your name?"
"I am Defarge. I have a wine shop here," the man replied.
"Pick that up,"
said the Marquis, throwing another gold coin. He sat back in his seat, and the carriage had just begun to move on when a coin came flying through the window.
"Who threw that?"
said the Marquis, looking out again. The tall man had dropped to his knees again, and a woman was standing by his side, knitting.
"You dogs! If I knew who had thrown it, I would ride over you and wipe you from the face of the earth,"
said the Marquis. No one replied. The woman who stood knitting raised her eyes and looked straight at him. But the Marquis hardly noticed her and ordered his driver to go on. The carriage left Paris and arrived at sunset in a little village at the bottom of a steep hill. On the top of the hill was a great dark prison. The village had one poor street with a few poor shops. All of its people were poor, and many of them sat by their doors, cutting onions and other bits of old vegetables for supper. It was hardly surprising that they had nothing left after paying tax to the king, tax to the church, tax to the marquis, tax here and tax there. The carriage stopped at the village gate, and the Marquis looked out. He called to Monsieur Gabelle, his rent and tax collector.
"Gabelle, bring me that man."
And the Marquis pointed at a poor road mender in a blue cap. The man was brought to the Marquis's window.
"I saw you on the road coming here at the top of the hill. Why were you staring at my carriage?"
demanded the Marquis.
"I was looking at someone underneath it," the road mender replied, taking off his cap.
What are you talking about?
Said the Marquis.
He was holding on to the chain under the carriage. He was a very tall man, and he was covered in dirt.
Where did he go?
He threw himself off and ran away down the hillside, said the roadmender.
Gabelle, if this tall stranger appears in the village tonight, question him,
said the Marquis. Then the carriage suddenly moved on, and the roadmender quickly jumped out of the way. A short while later, the Marquis of Evrémonde arrived at his huge chateau, which had many great trees around its walls. The carriage entered a courtyard, and a servant appeared at the door.
Has my nephew, Monsieur Charles, arrived from England yet?
Asked the Marquis.
Not yet, monsieur, replied the servant.
The Marquis went straight upstairs to his private apartment, where a wonderful supper was laid out on a table. He was halfway through it when he heard the sound of wheels outside. A short while later, his nephew, known in England as Charles Darnay, appeared. The two men did not shake hands, but the Marquis politely invited Darnay to join him for supper.
You have been in England a long time, said the Marquis as they sat at the table.
Yes, I was delayed there by business, said Darnay. It led me into great danger, almost to death, but the business is still unfinished and has brought me back to France. As you know, my dear mother's last wish was that I should find someone and put right a wrong from the past. However, I know you would do anything to try to prevent me.
That is true, said the Marquis coldly.
Our family has treated people so badly that I believe our name is hated more than any other name in France.
Of course the people hate us, but it is part of their respect for us. Oppression is the only way to make dogs obey.
We have done wrong, and one day we will be repaid. In my father's, your brother's, time, we injured everyone who got in the way of us having what we wanted. I am tied to a way of life that I hate. I am responsible for it, but powerless in it.
It's better to be wise and accept your natural position, said the Marquis. But I see that you are lost, Charles.
This chateau and France are lost to me, replied his nephew. I give them up. If this chateau ever becomes mine, I'll put it into the hands of someone who can free the unhappy people from the weight of oppression. Perhaps in the future they will be less poor, less hungry, and suffer less.
And how will you live?
Asked his uncle with a cold smile. I will work as other men, even aristocrats, may have to one day.
In England?
Yes, England is now my home.
I believe you know another Frenchman who has also found a new home there. A doctor? With a daughter?
Yes, answered Darnay, surprised. His uncle gave another unpleasant smile.
I see that you're tired after your journey, nephew, he said. So I'll wish you good night. I look forward to seeing you in the morning.
He rang his bell for a servant who showed Darnay to his room. Then the Marquis went to his own room and got ready for bed. As the sun rose the next morning, The people of the village awoke. Some went to dig the fields or to care for their poor, bony cows. Hours later, the chateau awoke. All except one. The Marquis lay on his pillow, his face turned to stone, a knife in his heart. A note was attached to the knife. "Send him quickly to his grave, from Jacques."